ESPN 97.5.
All right, then.
KFNC.
Are you ready for this?
Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Let's do this.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's The Usual Suspects on a way back Wednesday. And since we're all present and accounted for, we stay true to our word. We did it. And by the way, quick draw in there. May not have picked the actual theme, but I got on the hot seat last night quickly and started getting to work because I saw Nicholas beat us for a change. His list was in before either one of us.
Yeah, good for you, buddy. How did you manage to do that at the Rockets game?
Well, I was actually waiting for Coach D'Antoni for his pregame talk, and I had about 30 minutes.
I noticed that you guys, what I feel like is Joel basically took your list and used it as the premise for his as far as acts.
Nope.
Was that
no? No, because actually, unlike what you suggested yesterday, once I saw Nick's list, I Googled Super Bowl performing acts of all time, and it gave me just one list for every Super Bowl, every single one of them, and I was like, okay, this
of
is...
all time? I haven't done mine yet.
Okay, yeah.
All time, you say?
Yeah, yeah. And you do realize...
there it is, halftime show.
Yeah, and it just goes Super by Super Bowl. The performers, who produced it, all this other stuff, and I was like, oh, well, this is easy then, and I could pick out artists that I like. So, yeah.
Okay.
So can I not that hard. Nick. It's really not that bad.
So can I use Maroon 5 since they're
the same artist?
So. Maroon 5, as long as it's a song pre-2009.
Sure, sure. Okay, good.
Nick got me last night because he did respond to my list with a suck it because I had picked by mistake the Prince song that he had already taken. I was like, you're right. You got me. But luckily, it's not like some of these other crap artists. I actually could pick another song relatively easily.
Yeah, there's options with Prince.
So you're going first this time, huh, Nick?
Sure.
Oh, because you're ready.
Oh, he's feeling really good. Just a quick response. Sure. Let's do it.
I mean, I can play Joel. Well, you obviously are just not ready, so you're
I was super
shooting shots
busy.
Now.
I was super busy. So I, I was. I was editing the podcast. That's what I did.
So for our listeners out there, I cannot tweet out the lists until Barry submits his.
That's
it's
right.
All on Barry.
So now it's going to be exposed when you actually turn your list in.
255.
Well,
I'm going to wait.
That's on Barry. Suspect. It's not on me.
I would do a poll. Just do it over the first 2 hours then.
Just who won between you two?
Yeah.
You know what? I would be good with that.
Exclude
what's going on today.
And then the bots take over and I still lose.
So yeah, right?
It doesn't really matter. I don't know why I suggested that.
You have a 50-50 chance
lose
of
anyway.
Winning.
That's 50. Right. And I'm still going to lose.
Oh, that would suck. That would be pretty upsetting.
So, I have updates from the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
College roommate texted me last night, said everything is shut down in northern Wisconsin. Minus 60 is expected this evening.
I was at getting my hair cut. I had my standing 10:30 appointment with J. Rowe at Current Cuts.
Right.
In the chair, and they showed Eli, Minnesota, or Ellie, Minnesota. ELY. I don't know which one. Ellie?
Okay. I think it's.
Minus 70, which is the not even the lowest that it's ever been. It's been minus 71, which. I know 1 degree is 1 degree, but damn that. Minus 70?
See, for me, anything. But if you live in a city that's below 30 a lot, you're already in a city that's too cold. You're in a city that goes in the negatives. That's another thing. You're in a city that goes negative, as cold as negative 50, negative 60, negative 70. Like why? Like,
they said,
I just can't.
They said it's warmer, like in the Arctic Circle right now, than it is in the Midwest.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's warmer at the north of Santa right now is lounging in a tank top, and people in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Illinois are they can't even go outside. Instant frostbite was one thing I saw. They said you could get frostbite almost instantly. Yeah.
Within literally, and they did one where they used like the heat sensors to show how quickly it was exiting the body. If your face isn't covered, it's like all coming up and going out.
Your eyes freeze.
But like for you with the armpits, you'd be you'd be dangerous because the reporter had like glowing armpits because there's air holes in the jacket and it was coming out quickly.
Speaking of that, go to my Instagram at Barry is funny. There's a picture. I don't know if this is true.
I warned you.
It says, don't pass gas when it's minus 30 degrees and these people have frost on their beehole, on the outs, on their pants. So apparently if you fart in the minus 30 degrees, it freezes in your pants and everyone knows that you tooted. Yep. Everyone knows you farted when it's this cold.
They call you Dusty.
Is this a real thing?
Oh, yeah.
When I posted it, and again, at Barry's Funny, if you want to see the picture, it's hilarious. But when I posted it, I put, I wish this was true. You're telling me?
Sure.
That you've seen this?
So here's the kind of, well, I mean.
Oh, when my God, I'm moving.
When you were going, so again, my college roommate and I were talking about when we were going to class back in the day. And, you know, a lot of, especially chicks, wore sweatpants.
Right.
And our colors were, you know, some dark colors.
Right.
So, yeah, you get a girl like walking between classes.
Oh,
and you're
no.
like, please tell me she sat on a bench or something like that,
and
you know,
snow.
In between. But
it's just right. It's just a little strip right there in the beehole. Right there. So just there's on the pants.
There's a test that a lot of reporters do.
Oh, my God.
When they're covering cold weather.
Funny.
You can take boiling water throw it in the air, and it literally turns to snow before it hits the ground and comes down like snowflakes before it hits the ground.
Yeah, that's wild.
This morning in Minnesota, someone took a banana, no joke.
Oh, no.
Left it outside and then proceeded to take a nail into a wood board and pounded the nail into the board with the banana.
Wow.
Dude, I'm telling you.
That's ridiculous.
And here's where you know it's really serious, because I've told you guys this before. In La Crosse, Wisconsin, they are in the Guinness Book of Records for the most bars per capita of people in the entire United States.
Okay.
Right? He said it's so cold that bars are closed for the next 2 or 3 days.
Really?
I'm like, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. That is what I feel bad for is in that whole area is homeless people. They've got to have something for these folks. Like, are they going to open up like a basketball arena? I mean, we know Joel Osteen wouldn't do anything to help out. But hopefully that there's somebody up there that would open up like some sort of arena or something.
Well, and
just at least until it passes.
That's a great point, too, because now I was I don't think there's a high quotient of homeless in the smaller towns in Wisconsin, maybe obviously Milwaukee and Madison.
Sure.
But then thinking about
Chicago?
So when I was in my freshman, sophomore year in the athletic dorm on campus, they had the big dumpster right by one of the doors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with the amount of students that ate pizza and everything like that, there would be a population of Hmongs that were...
Of who?
M-O-N-G-S, Hmongs. It's an Asian...
Okay.
Okay, group of people.
Okay.
And they would literally crawl into the dumpsters and go through to see if anything was in there.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, oh, my God, that's actually a good point. I mean, they... You know, hopefully they have shelters in place, like you said. So I'm going to send him a message during the show and see if he'll answer. But yeah, that is definitely something, especially in Chicago, Milwaukee.
That's sad.
Yeah, you got to have, whether it's a YMCA or like you said, a gym or something, just where they can, warming spot.
Exactly. Yeah, something. Because minus 70 is just way too cold.
Without a question. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And if your farts are freezing, it's too cold outside. That's a rule I live by. Like, if I had life rules, rule number one would be, if you're not turning right, don't get in the right-hand lane. And rule number two would be, if your farts freeze, it's too cold. And then we would talk about loving each other and all that stuff. But that would be one and two.
And isn't it a sign of our society's able to understand things? It's not ever too hot until you literally fry an egg on a frying pan on the sidewalk.
That's the other one. Yeah. Yeah. Or they'll. I saw somebody leave cookies in their car, like unbaked cookies in a car when it was real hot and just made cookies.
Inside the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steven Uzik, our resident
weatherman
for all of 97.5, not just this show, and Sports Map and beyond. He said the farting thing isn't entirely true. There isn't enough moisture to make the frost.
Well, we've...
But if you poop and fart, which I don't know. Can I say shart? Can I say that?
I was going to say...
I can say shart, right?
If it's a wet one.
It's not the past tense of the actual S word, so I can say that. It's a made-up word.
Nick didn't want to sit down. He's right like, now. He wanted to get closer to the button.
But if he said if you shart, you may be able to make that happen. So I guess it just depends. This is fascinating. And I know people out there going, oh my God, these guys are talking about farting. This is science, people. Grow up. This is a scientific discussion about the human body and cold weather. Grow up.
So my college roommate responded. Uh-huh. He said, Salvation Army warning centers are open and other places have opened up to look out for the people that might not have a
Thank
shelter
goodness.
In place.
Yeah,
so
you knew good. They would do something, but man.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I'm going to ask him about the...
Let the games begin.
Who's
people.
Going first?
Nick. Me.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
So you went with Thriller.
He went mainstream as much as possible for popularity.
So
vote.
Of all the Michael Jackson songs, this is how you start.
Just let the list play before you start criticizing. This is one of eight songs or seven songs.
You rushed to be first.
I don't think you rushed because you were first.
That none of us would choose. This is why you hurried.
Please look at the video stream
right
now. Oh, God.
Please go to the stream and see Joel.
ESPN975.com. Oh, God. This is a disaster.
I'm not doing that with you. I'm totally not doing it.
Deep inside the darkest night. Where's Vincent Price when you need him to do
right?
The Super Bowl halftime performers? Just so
that is the theme of way back when.
Pre-2009, so the actual song.
I found my first one is going to be Marguerite Piazza.
Well, just remember that Up With People we left for you.
Good. She's a former Camel cigarette spokeswoman. So
she might be hot.
She's probably like, hey, baby.
Too bad it's not a video. Maybe that would get you some points.
That's right.
Hey, the HR&P listener line is open, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Just the second segment of the show. It is the usual suspects on a way back Wednesday. Nick, hour number one. I assume I will take hour number two because
this ain't happening.
Barry's
the incomplete
not ready.
List of Barry Laminack has yet to be submitted.
I have one song, New Kids on the Block, Hanging Tough. We'll go from there.
And I left it for you.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
I left you in sync, too.
Oh, are they on here? I haven't gotten that far down yet.
Gloria Estefan left her
I'm
for you as well.
Still in 1997.
Yeah. The Chubby Blues Checker Brothers. Is all yours?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Well, they're there if you need them. I'm guessing, Madonna.
Oh, yeah. That one I will do. I'm guessing you guys watched the debacle that was the Houston Rockets last night.
I did.
He was there.
I was present.
Okay, and I know we're going to talk about the game, but can we just start and work backwards for a second?
Sure.
Why in the hell with 14 seconds left is James Harden just walking out of bounds?
That was ridiculous.
That pissed me off more than anything I've seen in sports in a long time. Just
you know what that was?
We know that James assumes he's going to get the call and flops and flails and throws up shots that have no prayer of going in, and you're just like, what were you doing? But that's to a whole new level where you're just like, that was the dumbest thing I've seen in the last 3 years in sports.
You know what that was? That was an elitist. That was him saying, I'm James Harden, and I'm going to make you make this call, and the referee going, well, I got two choices, and that's not a foul.
No, it wasn't a foul. And for him to just walk out of bounds, it's a turnover.
He actually pushed himself out of bounds. If you actually look at the replay in slow motion, in real time, it looked like he was pushed out of bounds. But when you look at it in replay, he pushed him and kind of pushed himself out of bounds.
And then
was
he walked. Like he literally took three steps.
And he could have thrown the ball to someone. Yep. He could have passed the ball to someone else. And
he tucked the ball under his arm. And Barry, to your point, it's a four-point game. If you get a three or a bucket there and you foul quickly, it's a one-possession game. You got a shot.
Ultimately, I don't think they even wanted to play. When four of the five starters weren't playing, I guess they just didn't care. You could just tell from their body language, they just did not want to play yesterday.
Well, that was pretty egregious when it comes to, you know, lackadaisical. Austin Rivers not going after the loose ball, getting lucky, getting bailed out that it was a travel call because old boy passed it to himself.
Yeah.
But up and down that team, man, other than Kenneth Faried, no one looked like they wanted to be there.
Nope.
No one really. I mean, I take that back. P.J. Tucker didn't have a great game.
Ooh,
but
took some shots, too.
He did, but he was hustling at least. He was going after loose balls. Faried was going after loose balls. And I'll give it to Eric Gordon. His shot wasn't falling, but he was trying to get to the rim, and he was playing some defense. It wasn't great defense, but he was trying. But speaking of that, on the defensive side of the ball, they just looked like ass.
That's where I was going. But first of all, Faried was going after PJ's loose balls because on one he hit him with a hip right in the groin and pretty much took him out of the deal for a while. But that's where I was going. You look at the Rockets and say, okay, when you double-team James, the backdoor cuts should be open. Yeah. There should be a guy at the basket. But instead, that's what the Pelicans were doing all night for some stupid reason because Jahlil Okafor was using them. They were sending a second defender at him, and all New Orleans did was just send one guy, whoever the guy was that was doubling, just, hey, you run to the basket. You run to the basket. The entire second half was layup after layup by guys you don't even know their name.
Yeah, and you're thinking, this is a team that they're bad. Their stars quit on them. This is a team that has really, other than Drew Holiday, they don't have anybody that you look at and go, ooh, that guy's scary.
No, Okafor is getting this opportunity right now and getting some spotlight because Anthony Davis is not playing. The past five games he's had, and I'm happy for him, good for him, but he's kind of done it against not so good teams. I tell you what, the Rockets fooled you in the first quarter. Because they were actually hitting shots. I think they were
eight of their first 13 from three, right?
Yeah, and I think they ended up 8 for 16, shooting 50% from three-point land. That double team came on early. Eric Gordon was actually like 3 or 4 pretty quickly in the first quarter, but it just did not continue. Their three-point shots, when you look at the box score, if you want a hot box score take, they were not hitting them. But they still made way more three-pointers made in that game with like a 30-point differential. However, in the paint, 70 points in the paint for the Pelicans.
Good Lord, that's inexcusable.
70 points in the paint.
Without their big man. Without their star big man who's number two in scoring in the NBA.
Now, I will say this to Nick's point, though. You look at Okafor, who was a lottery pick out of Duke, and everybody said massive hands like Kawhi Leonard. This dude's going to be a star.
I thought he was going to be amazing, yeah.
Philly let him go, right? His last five games, fellas, started out with 20-10, then 17-10, 18-8. 24-15, and last night, 27-12. He's making the most of the opportunity. And that dunk he had over Austin Rivers and Ennis, get out of here, man.
Did you see Ennis' reaction?
Yeah.
He goes up, tries to block it, gets just dismissed. Puts his hand down and just walks away. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, he's kind of like.
Maybe nobody saw me.
Yeah. Like
saw you, bro.
He like leaned out of the screen, was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it was like, God.
It goes to show you when Okafor, like Joel said and like I've said, he's only been doing this for the past five games. It goes to show what Clint Capela's presence means in the paint defensively. He absolutely got dominated. Faried is actually a strong dude, but he's not that big. A lot of the things that he produced was in the first half, but from a defensive presence standpoint, he's actually not that big. So Clint Capela being absent in that paint, man, it hurts the Rockets
big time. Well, it's also on Daryl. You got to have more guys. Why isn't Nene in the game just to put a body on him? Why aren't you have at least one more big body just to clog up some space?
Yeah, and it was funny. I don't know. You watched the broadcast. You were there, but on the broadcast, about midway through the third quarter, I think it was, or maybe early in the third quarter, Matt Bullard starts to rave about Kenneth Faried and his ability to finish around the basket. And you want to talk about the jinx of all jinxes. That dude missed dunks, and I don't think he had another finish at the rim the rest of the game, it felt like. I mean, I know he did, but it was like, holy crap. I don't believe in the jinx when it comes to announcers and stuff, but it was really ironic. And then even Bill Worrell and Clyde are like, well, damn, Bull, ever since you said it, he's missed everything at the rim. And he's like, I know, I'm sorry, I jinxed it. I don't know.
There were two possessions where he got absolutely set up perfectly by either Chris Paul or James Harden, and he either missed the dunk
or it bounces off his
knee and it goes out of bounds
One where I think it was Harden that kind of fed him, but three-quarters court, he was right there by the bucket, goes up, misses it, gets his own rebound, misses it again, gets a third rebound, finally makes it, but he turns around and gives Harden the my bad. He's like, yeah, I cost you an assist on that. That's I know I got two extra rebounds to get my double-double again, but that's my fault.
The one that I keep is the Paul pass, because it hit him right between the two palms, and he just fumbled it and dropped it, and I was like, I was wondering, like, how big are his hands? I'm talking about Okafor, who they said you can put an orange in the palm of his hand, and it looks literally like a golf ball. I mean, his hand is that big. But I'm thinking, does Faried have small hands?
I don't think he has, like, incredible. I didn't really pay attention. I know you guys think I'm always paying attention to their bodies.
He was really ripped up and
he
cut.
He is ripped. He is ripped, but he's not that big. But whatever. Listen.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Oh.
But I do think size is a problem. I was talking to Dave of Clutch Fans about that, and he, before you guys get all inappropriate, okay?
Size is a problem.
Now we're just listening.
Okay.
Isolate that.
No, I'm not going to.
I'll do it.
But he says like the bottom part of his body is more shaped like a guard, and that he's not that big, and that kind of is a problem. He's going to be great for this team.
He really is.
He already
especially
is.
When he gets to settle into his role, which is a spark off the bench that he doesn't have to guard the other team's big man all the time.
Right.
And you know he's going to fill in for Capella, but they have that now, you know, with Tucker, and as much as they switch, it's not like you're always guaranteed to, like, okay, I'm going to go in and guard the big man, because the way that the Rockets play defense is they're always switching. In fact, speaking of that, I don't know this to be true, but they said, I think it was Bullard that said, and I don't know if you caught this, Joel, during the broadcast, they were like, you know, because Harden had a deflection, and they were like, oh, he's number one in deflections in the NBA. He's number three in steals, and by the numbers, he's the best low post defender in the league. Or maybe it was the team.
Bullard kept saying it.
That's the league.
He's a good low post defender.
No. They said by the numbers, he's the best in the league, right? And then they said, so everyone out there that says Harden doesn't play defense, and both Worrell and Clyde at the same time went, shut up. I was like, what?
Worrell said that?
Yes.
Yeah. Bill's getting more.
And then it was either right before that or right after that where Harden is just standing there. It was right before the conversation. I remember thinking, Jesus, that is just typical Harden. He's just standing there. He's creeping in to the lane, leaving his man all alone in the corner for a corner three. And, of course, the defender finds him, and Harden doesn't even make an attempt. He just turns and looks at the guy, shoots a three and makes it, and then Harden's just like, well, whatever. Like, what? That's what you're going to say is the best defender on the Rockets? Really? That leaving guys just wide open because you're just cheating in to the that's just ridiculous.
It's Tucker. Everybody knows he's the best.
Ridiculous.
I mean, for me,
no.
But he had
the
help
best
in
defender
the past.
Is Capella to me
on the Rockets.
Yeah,
Capella. Oh, I mean, Capella, you can make that argument. That's fair.
Yeah,
but I just think it's crazy how he when he can turn it on and turn it off. And I think this is a really important quote because Adam Spolian asked him, "Is it kind of hard to just turn it on?" And this is like to me is the most telling quote of the post game locker room discussion.
We're not good enough to just turn it on, so we got to, you know, get out to really good starts. And obviously, tonight was one of those nights where we didn't play well defensively. And I mean, even though we shot the ball well, you know, you give teams confidence, especially early in the game. You're capable of anything.
And I know we're late to going to break, but the reason why I think that's so important is number one, he says we're not good enough,
right,
to just turn it on, and number two is like that's why we have to get off to a good start. Well, you did get
yes,
off
did.
To a good start from a 3-point shooting perspective. And that's the reason why I think that's super telling. So they definitely need a big guy in the paint, and they definitely cannot allow 70 points in the paint by their opponent. No.
You know who he's referring to with you just can't turn it on and flip a switch?
Who?
That's what Golden State does. That's what everybody hates, because you're never in sports supposed to be able to just say when it's time to turn it on and we can just flip a switch, we can go. They can't, and they know that the Warriors can.
Yeah.
because Golden State's playing some great basketball right now. That's trying to catch them right now. The way they're playing, the Rockets are playing versus the way the Warriors playing. That's an uphill. That's a challenge.
When we come back, I want to talk about two more things. I want to talk about James's attitude on the floor.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about Chris Paul.
Okay.
Because I think that we haven't even mentioned him, really.
Right. But except for the fact that he threw a pass free drop.
Yeah. But I want to talk about him for
okay.
a moment.
Chris Paul, James Harden, and that discussion continues coming up next. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's The Usual Suspects, Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 p.m. when the Blitz takes over. And I have a question for you. I want to know right now, who you got in the Super Bowl? More importantly, who you putting your money on? Who you betting on? And more important than that, who you betting with? Because who you bet with is as important or more important than who you bet on. That's why I want you to do it with my bookie. If you're thinking about getting some action on the Super Bowl, do yourself a favor, go to mybookie.ag and sign up there and get that action through MyBookie. They are the online destination to get action on any game. They're safe, they're reliable, they've been in business for years. It's why I recommend them, it's why Fred recommends them, it's why we use them when we do get that action. And I want you to do the same. And what I love about MyBookie is when you win, they pay you. And I know that seems like such a novel concept. And trust me, there are some sites out there and there are some folks out there that they'll take your money. But when it comes to getting it back, they make you jump through hoops. They make it more difficult. Not with MyBookie. You win, they pay you. That's how it is. They've got in-game live betting. They've got some of the best player perks in the business, hands down. And what I like about it is you can get a lot, like we say, action on any game. Canadian football, college basketball, horse racing, you name it. Remember they did the whole Raheel three-point shot thing. I mean, it's all there, all available for you, and so easy to sign up. Just go to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. When you sign up, use promo code radio. They'll give you a 50% match on your first deposit. So you put in $500, they'll match it with $250 more free dollars. That's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
So speaking of getting paid,
yeah,
you mentioned one of the two guys, both getting paid by the Rockets.
But yeah.
Chris Paul, second yeah. game back after injury, and we've mentioned, boy, is he getting paid. And it's going to get worse. But sure. for a guy paying that much money to, and I know it's only his second game back, you're expecting him to kind of take off more of the load for Harden, but it's going to take some time.
So here's the thing. This is why I brought it up, because yeah. I'm watching the game last night. And by the way, let's not forget, too, wasn't there this big long streak with Harden about him, all of his points not coming from an assist from
yes.
another player?
Yes.
Didn't that end last night? I believe Austin Rivers.
No, Fareed ended it the other night
okay.
with the first one.
And then last night, Austin Rivers set him up for a three that he knocked down.
And
so I was like, oh, yeah. look
it's
at this.
It's a new term that came unassisted. No one even uses that.
But anyways, watching the game last night, and I'm with you, I think Chris Paul is going to have to be more of an offensive factor in the game from a points scored perspective. But the way that he distributes the ball, the way that he gets his team involved and his teammates involved, and the way he, one, relieves some of the pressure off of James Harden from having to constantly be so ball dominant and everything funneling through him. It was a nice change of pace to not only see Chris Paul bring the ball up, but that dude is so creative
yeah.
with the ball. And I know we talk about him being, you know, one of the best point guards to play, or one of the best or the best in this era. But when you really watch the way, I mean, the shots that these guys get are so easy
yep.
because of him. And I mean, I was just like, man, I think sometimes we take it for granted.
Look, they call him the point god
yeah.
for a reason, because of the fact that when you look at it, when his career is over, just what you said, his ability to handle the ball.
God.
And right now, Kyrie Irving, and I think he's the best ball handler in the league. But Chris Paul's been doing this kind of stuff forever, just doesn't need to get all the attention.
Behind
he's always set guys up. Yeah.
I mean.
But here's my problem. because I agree with you, right? And take the price tag out of it because you had to re-sign him, right? But here's the thing. I go back to what I've said all along. Just like when you didn't have a second low post defender or a guy that can put a body on a Jahlil Okafor. You're right. And Harden was doing the same thing when Chris Paul was out. You're getting two guys that are great creators with the ball, getting guys wide open looks. And the problem I have is Daryl Morey hasn't put together the roster with guys that can knock those shots down. Because it's one thing that it's so tough to get a shot in the NBA. It's always contested. Guys are always coming at you. But because of those two guys and how creatively talented they are distributing the basketball, you're getting wide open looks that just don't happen frequently in the NBA, and you're still missing shots.
That is a problem because you know that he's going to be able to create. Know that. And yeah, you do have to be able to knock those down. So yeah, I agree. And you know, it's funny because I started to really perk up. It was about third quarter when he started to really find his teammates. And we talk about how bad their second half was, but it wasn't for lack of open looks or creativity from Chris Paul and James Harden. I mean, he gets plenty of love for what he's able to do for his teammates, obviously with it being so highly rated in assists, but it was something special, man, watching Chris Paul last night, just the way he was able to create. There were some no looks behind the backs, just look away passes and stuff like that. But even some of the basic stuff that he'll do, he'll draw two or three defenders purposely and get them drawn in so he can distribute the ball to an open shooter. And it's amazing.
He's definitely a coach on the floor.
Yeah.
Because he can read things that others don't see to set these guys up. But, you know, you look at the whole body of work, and I'm just, as the game's unfolding, and I'm going, this is the five guys, and you look at the scoring that was out for New Orleans last night, and it was a monster number with Mirotić, with Julius Randle, and the way he's been playing. Etuan Moore, which no one knows about, but a guy that the Rockets once had who is scoring well for them. Davis, obviously their number one scorer. You can't take a night off. You can't assume. This is like the biggest trap for a bookie when you talk about my bookie.
Right.
This is the biggest trap because everybody sees everybody out going, Rockets are going to roll them. But NBA players, when they talk about you play to the level of your competition, they see that and go, cakewalk, let's get on to the next one.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
You know who was pissed last night? It's Calvin Murphy.
Oh, was he ever.
He was disgusted after the game, which I was like, good. At least somebody within that organization, pre-post or during the game that talks for a living is going to be honest. Because he was just like, that was pathetic. That was disgusting. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. They knew better. I hope that locker room knows how idiotic they looked last night.
And was you were the there. You were there, Nick, right?
Do they know that was a piss poor performance? Like they crapped the bed.
I mean, unless they're acting very well. I mean, they look pretty upset in the locker room. Harden was pretty upset. Usually, he does have a nature to him where he is kind of short with the media. But when they lose, he tends to be even more short because he's upset. Chris Paul was just transparent about the fact that he needed to be better. You're right. When you look at, because we got a tweet before the show. Is Chris Paul's contract one of the worst or the worst in sports? And I would say no, because from a points perspective, he's probably completely overpaid. But like you guys mentioned, his creativity, his decision making is second to none, probably on the team. Like Joel mentioned, you had to sign him. Plus, what about, you know, like a Mike Conley or some of the 10-year contracts that you see in Major Ryan League Anderson? Baseball?
How about Ryan Anderson?
Or Ryan Anderson.
People are going to go back to Matt Maloney, but there's been some bad contracts, right? But here's the thing. To answer the tweet, too, I don't think right now it is, but as I've said to you guys all along, the fact that that's 4 years and it only should have been three, that fourth year at $45 million is going to kill this team that year.
They're going to have to hope that the salary cap in the next 2 or 3 years goes up at least $10, $15, $20 million to cover the additional, $20-25 million that he's getting in that particular year. So, yeah.
$20-25 million, too much. And here's the thing on Murph that you, because it's a good read, right? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how you know that Murph's really ticked off. Murph was chewing gum. He normally chews gum to save his throat, but someone will say in his ear, Murph, gum,
just so that he knows on air, you just, it's a no-no. You just don't chew gum.
All right.
He had gum in his mouth for two straight segments, and that, you know what that told me? And I know those guys well. Those guys in the truck were terrified to say anything to Murph about taking gum out of his mouth with as ticked off as he was at that performance. Because when Kevin goes, Murph, what'd you see? And his head's down, and he's shaking it, and you want him to say something, but you know, don't push it.
At one point, he even said they ended up with a booger on their hand, which
he
I
did.
Didn't know what that meant. I had no idea what that meant. I was like, I've not. Look, I
because he thought
the
about not
of,
saying it, and then he was like, screw it, booger on your hand. I was like, what did he say?
Yeah.
You get caught with a booger on your hand.
Hey, I don't want you to get caught with a booger on your hand after a night of drinking. That's why you need to get Cheers. If you're wondering what Cheers is, remember Thrive Plus. I told you all last year about Thrive Plus. New year, new name, same great product. Cheers is a supplement designed to reduce the negative effects of alcohol and help you, help me, and 60% of America who drinks feel better the next day. And I can tell you from experience, Cheers absolutely works. You guys know because you showed up to the listener party and I was getting my drink on. I had my Cheers with me. I took it. The next morning felt great. This past weekend, I am in Fort Worth. I'm having a great time. We went out to a club, got my drink on, took my Cheers. I felt great the next day, and you will too. And listen, don't just take my word for it. This product was developed by PhDs, five of them, in fact, on staff. Ivy League scientists, and you probably saw it on Shark Tank. Cheers is the real deal, and it works. And the way it works is by giving your liver exactly what it needs to process alcohol and its toxic byproducts. It's easy to take. You just take three capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. And if you don't feel 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back. How cool is that? To order Cheers, go to cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com. And order by 4 p.m. today. And this Houston-based company, they're going to give you your product on your doorstep tomorrow. Get your order in right now. It's cheershealth.com. I don't drink without Cheers, and neither should you.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. It is cold in the Midwest. It's only 53 degrees outside in Houston, Texas. But hey, the beer's always the frosty 29 degrees at Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views. And of course, our online video stream provided by Twin Peaks as well. And we will be there tomorrow.
Coming through in the clutch, man. Twin Peaks is clutch.
We're going to be at the 290 location tomorrow. Charlie's going to be there. We're going to be there. The Blitz is going to be there. If That's you right. are going to be there.
That is tomorrow.
Yes. You could win a $250 gift card so you could have your own Super Bowl party of your choice at a Twin Peaks and start it with $250 right there to work with. We're also going to have squares for Super Bowl for listeners, different prizes to give away as well. So big time.
I did a square 1 year where I let friends and whatnot get in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And like half of the people never paid.
That sucks.
That's why I don't do that anymore. I don't do anything like that.
My niece, when she didn't know. I mean, she watches football. I'll give her credit. She knows more than a lot of people on football. She does watch it a lot. She is uncanny and winning squares things.
Really?
At her work does a big thing back in Wisconsin. Every year, I think, for the last like 10 years, she's won at least one quarter. And I'm like, wow. I don't know. There's no science to it, but good for you.
I've just never enjoyed it. I just could. It's not even the fact that I don't win. It's just not fun.
Really? I mean, what fun? It's fun just because you check it once. It's not like you're constantly gripped by the...
I don't get the excitement, but what makes
you
want to...
Well, the excitement
wanna,
is when you win.
Like, if you got the...
Never won, so I guess I do need to win.
Well, that's why, yeah.
But, like, if you got your two numbers, right, and say you've got 7 for the Rams and 0 for the Patriots, and you know the Patriots late in the game are driving, you don't want them to score, and it gives you more... You're more engaged in watching the game because you're like,
man, if they kick this field goal, I'm talking about a couple hundred bucks.
What sucks is when you get like five and
two.
You're just like, damn it. There's no way this is coming up, a five and a two. Or you get two fives. What is it going to be, 15-15, 25-15? Get out of here. That would suck. That's when you're like, ah, I hate the squares are stupid. I don't want to play those. Only text worth reading so far. And I will say, you guys need to step up your texting game today.
Okay.
But somebody said, can guns actually fire in minus 16 degrees? If so, cities up north like Chicago might have a lower crime rate because of it. I don't know.
That's a good question. But I can't answer that.
I would imagine guns are engineered so much better now that...
Well, I mean, internally...
It could withstand that.
Yeah, internally, the bullet itself is just powder and, you know, the firing pin hits the back of the bullet and it causes a spark and the powder and the gun and the bullet comes out. I don't know all the scientific... But I would imagine that all that still happens internally.
Well, but when you think about how out of date people up north are...
I mean, it's not a musket. It's not like...
Think about how behind the times people in the Midwest are in fashion.
Yeah.
And think about the fact their guns are pretty behind the times, too. Like, their grandpa, their pawpaw passed down a gun that passed down a gun that they still got.
Yeah. I mean, they're not loading a musket, right? Unless you're dealing with minus 35 degrees and your gun is exposed. Okay. So I'm reading about it now on Concealed Nation. Which, by the way, I went and got my, I went and picked up my gun last night.
That was in way before they let you know?
Yeah. Love it. Can't wait to go shoot. It was the perfect gun for me. I didn't realize how much I was going to like the gun. I thought, okay, it looks like a good gun. Perfect gun. 1911, like 4.5-inch barrel, 9mm. So happy. Thrilled.
Did you complain about the fact that they never emailed you when it came in?
I didn't, just because I was just giddy to get the gun.
I could just see you with the gun in your
hand.
Went
home, immediately took it apart. Yeah, right?
She hands it to you. No. Like, let me see this thing. Hey, remember when you started pointing at that? That could have been a problem.
Also, I had to renew. I'm sitting there, and I went to hand them my concealed carry permit because I have it, and it's expired. And I was like, oh, crap. I didn't know that. So I had to renew that online while I'm buying the gun. So that was fun. Good times.
Jeez. Well, at least you got a gun you like.
I know. I'm excited about that. Now I got to see if I go up north, will it fire?
Hey, I don't know if you guys saw this or not.
Okay.
But there was a TV station in Pittsburgh, and they were showing highlights of media day at the Super Bowl and everything. And they showed video of Tom Brady at the podium. And the graphics person thought he'd be funny. And so the first line of the lower third graphic says Tom Brady. And underneath it, instead of saying quarterback or Patriots or whatever, it said known cheater.
No.
People need to start putting their feelings aside. They can't do stuff like that.
Well, he's probably regretting it today.
Fired.
Because he got fired.
Dang.
Yeah, so be careful how funny you think you're being when you got an audience, especially like that, because that one got you.
Do either of you hate Tom Brady that much, Joel?
I don't. I mean, look, the thing that was, I don't like the, I got issues with the fact that I will always, like, I'm just not a Patriots fan.
Right.
But you can't deny statistically and otherwise. And then when you hear his story, and they had his dad on the other day on ESPN, and it just seems like he's a down-to-earth dude that's just won the lottery on many fronts.
Who, Tom?
Yeah, and he works his tail off. He ended up with Giselle. He was a 6th or 7th round pick that ends up being, you know, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time.
You didn't read that whole story on him and that TB thing and the strife internally with his training and wanting
to
force it on the...
Oh, I know what he had with his trainer, yeah.
And wanting to force it on the team, and the team, and half the locker room was divided and they were with him and half wasn't. And that doesn't seem like a down-to-earth dude when you start doing stuff like that. That's when you feel like that it's gone to your head a little.
If you go to ESPN, has a story, and also I saw it online as well, but they were asking players on the Patriots for their best Tom Brady stories over the years, thinking that it was going to be a lot of in the huddle. And most every guy to a man starts with my first or second day there, and I'm an undrafted free agent, or I'm this guy or that guy. And Tom went out of his way to say, hey, so-and-so, I'm Tom. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the team, whatever. And that he's always been really... you know, outgoing and friendly to all of his new teammates and things like that. But, I mean, look, you can hate him for winning, but I think there's – and I hate him for the fact that anybody touches him when he's in the pocket. He's going to the officials. But you can't it is a pretty good story when you think about how low he was drafted, when you look at him when he was running at the combine and he looked like a pizza delivery guy that got walked into the wrong building.
God. Yeah, but okay. And all that's great. I love a great story and all that, but that doesn't preclude you from being a D.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I brought it up is because the hatred for Tom Brady is so high, and we live in an era now where you can kind of not be objective in terms of the media. And
right.
I hear it all the time. You could tell when someone hates Tom Brady, even when they're saying, no, I totally respect his game. He's without a doubt one of the best, if not the best quarterback of all time. You absolutely can tell when they hate him.
I think people hate winners and guys that succeed at everything. I think people genuinely don't like
that. That's why the Warriors are hated now.
Well, absolutely. That's a good point. Because he's got it all. He's got rings. He's the best quarterback to ever play. He's got a hot wife. He's got money. He's from nothing to something. Pulled himself up by his bootstrap. Like, all the things, and you look at it and go, all that disgusts me because I don't have it. And I think that's where a lot of hate
for me,
comes
I get
from.
Angry and then get over it right away. Like the other night, Steph Curry, he like shot a three-pointer and shimmied before the damn ball went in the damn rim. I got angry for about 2.5 minutes, and I went right past it.
But you know the Karma Police got him, because later in the game he was on the bench, and Clay had a dunk or a three, and he stood up and started running to celebrate, and he slipped on his own warm-up and went face first, face plant instead of Steve Curry. And funny. It was like, yeah, you know, you probably deserve that.
I don't hate Tom Brady. I get sick of seeing him. How about that?
Okay. I mean, America's always traditionally pulling for the underdog anyway. So to your point, when they've won and won that much, most people start hating on him.
I would have loved the Super Bowl to be Rams Chiefs. I don't need to see Tom Brady anymore. I know what he's capable
of. Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I would have loved to see that.
I know what Bill Belichick is capable of. And I get that they may go down as the greatest head coach and quarterback duo in the history of the NFL. And Tom Brady, to me, is the greatest quarterback to ever play. Maybe, you know, I get all that. I just want to see something new.
I got a question for you when we come back then, because you mentioned Belichick. Let's bring Belichick into the equation, and I'll ask you guys if something might sway your decision on Brady and the Patriots. We'll be back with that in the second hour of the show. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also reach us on Twitter. Hour number two is around the corner. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.